Meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Since we have all risen, we'll do the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, please.
Eva?
Here.
Torres?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Okay, I would accept a motion for Resolution 84, 2012, for executive session.
So moved.
Second.
For the purpose?
Of contract negotiation. I guess that would be it, right?
Contract negotiation for the whole thing?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because the resolution said for manager purposes also.
Yeah, the second, they probably just forgot that from the last.
Okay.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Kathy, would you mind closing the door for us, please? Thank you. Okay, the floor is yours.
May have seen some of these.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we're all back. My apologies for the delay, ladies and gentlemen, but we did have the executive session beforehand. We have already gone through the statement of adequate notice, roll call, and things of that nature. First up on our agenda, we have a proclamation for Older Americans Month. Whereas it has become a tradition that the month of May is designated as Older Americans Month, and whereas the growing population of older adults in our county and our municipality continues to make innumerable positive contributions through their efforts as volunteers and citizens, and whereas the Borough of Washington wishes to honor our older adults for their past and present contributions and encourages our older residents to remain in the mainstream of life as they continue to play a vital role in our society and particularly our local community, now therefore be it resolved that I, Mayor Scott McDonald of the Borough of Washington, hereby proclaim May 2012 as Older Americans Month in Washington Borough. And that brings us to correspondence.
Make a motion to receive and file.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of the correspondence? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Our minutes of April 3rd and April 17th, both executive and regular.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, next up we have a council appearance from Warren Schneider of Schneider & Company. He's going to present to us the forensic audit. I'm sorry. It says audit on our thing here.
Thank you, Mayor, Council Members, Acting Borough Manager. I'm pleased to literally present you the result of our forensic investigation. As most of you know, I was...
Commissioner, can I put the microphone toward your face a little bit?
Move it to the side of the podium.
You can turn the, carry it over a little more in front.
Put it to the side of the podium so it's closer to you.
Oh, right, yeah, there you go.
Good thought.
Okay.
Is that better? Thank you.
No problem. As you know, I was engaged approximately a year ago to perform this investigation, and after putting in, and myself and my firm, three active professionals, we put in a total of about 900 hours. That equates to 25 man weeks. Even that surprised me as the amount of time. When we started this project, the first thing we did was, you know, look to the accounting department for their help. We were immediately graciously welcomed and fully cooperative, so let the record show that clearly. And we started to ask for what I wanted to see was the electronic records. First of the borough's accounting system. We were told that the borough changed electronic systems in May of 2008. And they went from First Bank to Edmunds, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
We then inquired, well, let me see what you have from the first part, and from 2006, which we started. Our mandate was to start from January 1st, 2006 through December 31st, 2010. So let's see the early years, what you have in electronic accounting records, being that's the easiest for us to manipulate, sort, and look at. We were informed that upon the transition from Edmunds to First Bite, that no electronic data was retained at all. And there's two parts to that. Not only was the data not saved in the place, the borough did not have a working copy of the old program to even look at the old data for reference. And
can we ask questions as you go along, Mr. Snyder?
Can we wait for the end?
Okay.
Could I ask that otherwise?
Okay.
Maybe I'll say something that's even more peaking as we go along. So even more importantly, I said, okay, if you started your new system, Edmunds, in May of 2008, did you bring over all the historical transactions from your old accounting system to your new accounting system so we could look at them, so you could look at them? And the answer was no. The answer was we brought forward the starting balance in each account as of the transition date. So all the history, all the detail, all the transactions from 2.5 years was not brought over. And your new accounting system started from May 2008 in nice, efficient detail. That really threw us for a loop, because in effect, that in essence obliterated the detail that the borough had of its transactions for those first 2.5 years. We then inquired if there were any hard copies, which are certainly much harder to use and not in a format that we really wanted. But there were there was piecemeal hard copies. So we were a little stymied what to do for the first 2.5 years. We did notice that 100% of the individual bill lists were maintained. And that is, your record twice a month. What the mayor and the council passes as to what should get dispersed. Fortunately, that was all in paper. And so we were at a dilemma. But at that point, I had no choice but to manually input the first 2.5 years of transactions, transaction by transaction. Because we wanted to create a database so we could then do our real work, look at it, compare, contrast, to see what was increasing, decreasing, et cetera. So I assigned a staff person, and it took him, because there was only one person on the software at a time, it took him approximately six man weeks to input that data, but we got there. Good news is, for the period May 2008 through December 31st, 2010, the electronic data from Edmunds flowed right in, and that worked relatively well. So that gave us the universe of the borough's disbursements for the 5 years we wanted to look at, and then we started doing our classifications. When we first totaled those transactions for 5 years, it was little over $150 million of disbursements. And there were 23,270 individual disbursement transactions, which we looked at. Now, in order for us to get a handle on all this data, the first thing we did is we sorted it by department to see what department had the most transactions. Not the most, but see what transactions each department had. Okay. So I'll ask you to, those of you who have the books, turn to Exhibit 1. And you'll see the five-year summary, okay, of the transactions the borough had by department, which total a little over $150 million. Now, for the next step, we said, all right, let's take each individual department and let's break that down by line item to see what's going on in each individual department. And we did that for the top 33 departments in Exhibits 2 through 34, and all the rest of the smaller departments are all lumped together in Exhibit 35. And I'll take a drink of water, and then we'll go through as an example so you know how to, I think, best utilize our report efficiently. For example, and I'm just taking this as an example, if you go to Exhibit 14, which is the five-year history of the General Administration Department. So you can see in for this department, we broke down according to your internal chart of accounts where the monies were posted to as to, you know, what categories they were expended in. And this gives, I guess for the first time, a real clear five-year history, which we've done department by department. So we and you can now see in detail, you know, enough data to analyze and for us to ask the right forensic questions. And if you just look at the total, you can see that, and we did the change from period to change from period to period. So in 2007, I guess I'll call it the good years. Expenses were up, and then as everybody tightened their fiscal belts, 2008 through 2010. the expenses decreased. But now we have to take that into context, because us as forensic accountants look at this report, and look at the very first line, general administration full-time, that's full-time wages. Okay. And we could see, let's take for example 2007-2008, there's $160,000 of wages, $180,000 of wages. But if you go to 2010, there's $111,000 of wages. So something like that would pique our curiosity, and we would ask, we would tend to ask why. And in this one, so you know we how to use this, we asked the question, what happened to salaries in 2010? Let somebody go, a wage decrease? And the answer was, we transferred one of our clerical people to the accounting department, where we thought, where you thought they were better utilized. So if you look at Exhibit 30, which is the financial administration department, and look at the same first line wages, you could see there were just minuscule wages in the first 4 years, and the wage that was transferred popped into that department. So as we use this, we really try to understand analytically what was going on in the administration. Once in a while, so it's, everybody knows, between the new system and the old system, the account codes were a little different. Every once in a while, we were looking at the fire hydrants, for example. And the first 3 years, they're on one page, and just when we started the new system, they're in a different page. But when we saw that that difference, we asked, we got a good answer, and we moved on. So this was the basis for our, I'll call it our analytical inquiry, and I think it really helps. If somebody wants to know literally where did the money go in those 5 years, we've detailed it out for you, account by account, department by department. And as we did that, of course, there were certain things that rose to the level of additional investigation and warranted some more work and some detailed analysis of invoices and contracts and minutes and ordinances. And those things which rose to a level we've included in our report under observations and findings. So if we found something was fine, we moved on. You won't get an A plus for fine, but if but something was worthy of a discussion. So don't take it that we didn't look at anything else other than our findings and observations, because nothing can be further than the truth. We looked at it, looked right. Once in a while, we had to ask a bunch of questions, so we understood it. And we actually went to each and every department to make sure we understood what was going on in each of the departments. That was part of the mandate, that we touch everything. So we made sure we actually did touch each department and have a reasonable understanding. But respectfully, I couldn't go through 100% of $26,000 transactions, which took you 5 years to complete, because it would have taken me 5 years to review. So we had to take our pieces and move on. I'm gonna ask you to wait to just rail, so it's fair to everybody, and I can keep my train of thought. But I will answer your questions.
All right. The first area which we thought was worthy of discussion in our observations and findings was the garage built by the within the Department of Public Works. We noticed that there were
three ordinances over the course of this project. The first ordinance in 2000 for $600,000, the second ordinance in 2005 for $700,000, and the third ordinance in 2007 for $1,670,000. Now, the 2000 and the 2005 ordinance were prior to our review. Those individual disbursements were not picked up in our database because they were not dispersed. They weren't necessarily dispersed in our time period. But to the extent they were, we looked at them. But we do know from your historical records that those amounts were allocated to the project. Now, when it came time for construction time in 2007, we noticed the borough solicited bids, and the borough got six bids and awarded the contract to the lowest bidder, Consolidated Building Corp. And I do want to know, because this was important to us, that the bid specs for that bid requested that the borough of Washington include in that bid a line item for $75,000 for design fees. So I asked myself, well, gee, after having two other ordinances for $600,000 and $700,000, why would you have $75,000 for design fees that late in the process? And when we got to examine the detail, we saw that Suburban Consulting engineers wrote the following, that they determined that the at that point in time the storage areas were insufficient, the maintenance bay was inadequate, the wash bay details were not clear, the soil storage structure was impractical, et cetera, et cetera. So in essence, to me, there was a new need for a new $75,000 of design fees. And we looked back and said, gee, what happened? What evidence do I have at that point in time that the $1.3 million expended on the prior two ordinances gave the borough any value when they actually went to the construction to construction time? So I could not see, and I first admit I'm not an engineer, I'm an accountant, but due to Suburban Consulting engineers requesting this and criticizing the design and looking to start over, I did not see any value of the first $1.3 million from the first two ordinances. So at the completion of the project, the total of those three ordinances were $2,970,000, which was spent. And if I look at my construction contract, value was $1,570,000. And that to me was that exactly 53% of the total expenditure, which also raises the question: why in those early years, what happened to those? I didn't see any utility, if you would, for those monies which were expended in those early years. All right. The next thing which we wish to comment on was the downtown.
Well, can we ask questions after you go through each part, maybe this way?
Can I finish? Otherwise, we'll get waylaid.
Okay.
I will get waylaid, and so And I promise I will not leave till every member of the council has asked everything they want to. I'm not going to do that, but let's, and I'll go through, you know, area by area later on, but let's try the first time around. On the downtown Washington Avenue, we noticed that from 2005 to 2008, there are four ordinances for a total of $2,273,000. The first ordinance was $1,350,000, which was substantially the result of a grant from the state of New Jersey or the federal government. We noticed that was spent. And early in 2007, the borough was notified that there were additional grant funds available from the state of New Jersey. And when we looked at the minutes, we saw that certain members of the council questioned whether to take the money or return it. At the end, the council, according to our reading, certainly took the money, but we're certainly under the understanding that their belief was that these expenditures, with expenditures on the Washington Avenue streetscape, would not be in excess of this approximately $500,000 grant. However, only several months later, in August 2007, the borough found it necessary to pass an additional ordinance for an additional $308,000 to borrow a bond offering with a gross amount of $385,000, $365,000 which borrowed and $25,000 was out of pocket. And then even in 2008, to get done, there was initial need for another $40,000 change order. So our view on this is if we had money, initial, you know, good grant from of $1,300,000, and then I'll call it an optional, which you decided to use, grant from the state. If there were better planning at the end of this process, you would have had to borrow and spend out of pocket money another $400,000. So to us, it was a planning issue. Okay, the next area which we wanted to comment on was interfund transfers. When we first met with the accounting department, and we were told that this was a particular area of concern, and I even think the Citizens Committee relayed that to me. So when we started at January 1st, 2006, we looked at your December 31st, 2005 financial statements. That's your starting point for 2006. So we noticed at December 31st, 2005, at that point in time, at the start of our review, there were $4,358,600 of intra-fund transfers from a series of your funds to another series of your funds, and those are detailed. If you wish to look on page 15, the concern was, at least from the Citizens Committee, that somehow these funds were leaving. And I understand from your municipal financial statements, they are a little difficult to read at best. So I respect that. But the first thing we did, and probably one of the first things, is we took your inter-fund transfers, and we went from year to year to year, and we traced all the balances just to make sure that there was nothing leaving the borough, nothing that to us was an anomaly, an error, anything real suspicious. It was just one fund lending another fund due to plain old liquidity issues. Now, certainly this practice is not within good fiscal policy, and it, to me, it shows the borough may not have had an adequate understanding of the timing of its cash needs in certain operating capital funds. And that's how, at least when we started, it ended up starting at $4,358. As we traced those through, we found all the bookkeeping was right. Okay, so there are no issues there. And I guess I'm glad to say, as we traced those through 2010, the amount of total intercompany transfers, funds being borrowers and funds being lenders, went from $4,003,000 down to $900,000. So certainly in recent years, you're on the right path. To straighten those out. The part which we pointed out is that although you're allowed to lend funds to each fund on an interim basis, it's our understanding that the local fiscal fair laws require, by that law, each fund to pay up and even that out at year end. And that's what, obviously, was not done. So that practice, I don't practice law, but that might be a violation of the local fiscal affairs law, and I would certainly defer that to your local counsel for his evaluation of that. The next area which we knew was of major concern to the constituents and the borough was the recreation area. So we made sure to take a look at a good hard look at the recreation area. And we noticed from 2006 to 2008, the recreation was run by an independent board of recreation commissioners. And the borough put money into a recreation trust, which was then managed by those recreation commissioners, although it was processed mechanically through the accounting disbursement system with the right controls. And then we noticed in 2008, the borough decided to replace that board of commissioners with a committee. So for all of us to look at and understand what happened in recreation, you actually have to look at two departments. So as we look at, if you want to look at Exhibit 17, that will show us the initial funds expended during the Board of Recreation Commissioners in 2006 to 2008, and the small amount in 2009-2010 was actually dispersed by the new committee. There were some leftover funds, and you need to compare Exhibit 7 with Exhibit 20, which is the 2009 and 2010 individual disbursements of the new recreation committee. Okay, in that area, we heard that there was some controversy and interest about the improvements in the pool. So we made sure to look at that. And we noticed that a contract for improvements was given to a construction firm for a contact price of $348,000. Later, the contract was amended with a change order of $35,000 to install lifeguard stands and some permanent starter blocks. And we understand that transaction was the source of some tension within the town. So we went and looked at the underlying paperwork. And based on our review, from the letters we saw from the engineer, TM Associates, to the contractor and the borough manager, it appears that the contractor, outside contractor, might have begun to work on the lifeguard stands and the starter blocks before the change order was approved by the council. However, the township engineer made the contractor aware of such circumstances, and it's our view at that point, if the contractor took the risk and the responsibility for non-payment, should those change orders not have been approved by the borough. So while the contractor might have put the cart before the horse, we actually think the borough did it the right way, and everything was improved on a timely basis. Another area which we knew was a concern was the improvements to the streets and roads. And we noticed that in 2005 and 2006 that there were ordinances totaling $2,500,000 for the improvements of streets and roads. However, when we looked at those ordinances, because we knew there was some controversy as to what streets were included, what streets were not included, we noted that each of the ordinances specifically states, you know, and I quote, various improvement of various streets and locations in and by the borough. So the ordinance was written in such a broad, a broad mandate that even though some specific roads were labeled, it was the borough's prerogative in the end to spend that money on the roads. And when we looked at those two ordinances, we were satisfied that the improvements to the roads which were spent were not in excess of those ordinances, and we saw nothing wrong in that area. We also knew that the purchase of a fire truck was an issue, and when we started to look at it, we actually realized that the state auditor who addressed a fire truck probably confused what was really two purchases of a fire truck. The first was a pumper truck, and the borough approved a $400,000 ordinance in 2006, and the borough put that out to bid, and the borough received three bids in May of 2006. The lowest bid of approximately $325,000 was from Rosenbauer. The next lowest bid was $390,000. So there's a pretty good spread between those bids. However, the borough determined that the lowest bidder, Rosenbauer, had numerous issues of non-compliance with the specifications put out by the borough. Your outside counsel got involved, and he concluded that the Rosenbauer bid could be rejected, respectfully for being non-responsive, and the contract awarded to the next lowest bidder, which was Pierce Manufacturing. Subsequently, when Rosenbauer realized they had lost that contract, even though they were the lower bidder by a substantial amount, they wrote a protest letter to the borough, complaining that the specifications issued by the borough were in the form and exact wording used by Pierce Manufacturing in its manufacturing process. And there was no way possible that any other manufacturer could bid on these specifications without taking exceptions to the method of construction and making clarifications involving the use of alternative components. Now, as accountants, I'm not in a position to comment on the engineering of a fire truck. But we point out if such allegations are true, it would appear that the borough's bidding process for that pumper truck violated the spirit of open and competitive bidding. In the next year, November 2008, the borough decided to approve an ordinance appropriating money for an aerial truck, a ladder truck. There was a federal grant that was available, which initially we both thought was $500,000. It turned out to be $375,000. And the borough authorized, in addition to that grant, a bond issuance of $475,000 and with an out-of-pocket cost of $25,000. So the total appropriation effectively was $875,000. Now, on December 11th, 2008, the borough put this out to bid. With a closing date of December 23rd, just 12 days after the bid was advertised, the borough only received one bid for the aerial fire truck, and the bid was from Pierce Manufacturing, who supplied the prior fire pumper truck. Now, Pierce Manufacturing bid was for $891,000, which was a little in excess of the $875,000 appropriated, and also Pierce gave an incentive that if the contract was signed prior, on or before December 31st, 2008, there would be a purchase discount on this fire truck. Therefore, the borough called a special meeting on December 31st, voted to transfer $20,000 from appropriations from the roads to the fire truck. Therefore, they had $895,000, slightly in excess of $891,000, and were able to accept the bid on the aerial truck from Pierce. Now, from our independent view, this process was rushed. Just look at the timing. To me, it was rushed at a minimum, and at worst, the bidding process was possibly flawed due to the following considerations. Only a single bid was received. The bidders were only giving 12 days notice for bid responses at the height of holiday season. And the time pressure to execute a contract was within 8 calendar days of the close of the bid and before year end, which actually included the Christmas holiday. So with our view, that was at minimum a rushed decision. We next looked at what rose to our attention was what we call internal control process over some bills which are being paid. Now, of course, one of the borough's largest expenditures are the payment of county taxes to the county of Warren. So we took a bill at random, a sample bill, happened to be for the second quarter of 2008. And it was obviously for a significant amount, for a little over $800,000. And we looked at that bill, and we wanted to see what independent verification that an employee of the Borough of Washington did to verify that the amount billed from the county tax office was indeed correct. So here we are, issuing over $800,000, obviously a grossly material disbursement. And we started to inquire, and we noted that there was at least no independent or documented verification by any employee within the Borough of Washington to ascertain if this amount billed from the county of Warren was correct. And that we came to the conclusion that, at least in this type of transaction, maybe that there's no control, independent controls from the county to, I don't want to say to challenge, but just to verify on such a material transaction that amount was correct. That was in 2008. We thought it was our responsibility to follow up with I'll call it the current administration, and we did. So then we extended our procedures to the current CFO, and we went through her system on a current basis, and it did give us reasonable comfort that now there's an effective system of internal controls in place over that type of disbursement. So we thought that was a plus. Right. We came across a new subject. We came across the purchase in early 2006 of a dump truck that was approved by a late 2005 ordinance. And on this instance also, the borough solicited bids for a dump truck and received one qualified bid. And once again, we noticed in a review of the minutes of the borough, there were certain members of the council which were concerned that the request for bids was written in such a fashion that it narrowed the scope of open and competitive bids. And the council did have a discussion, and they ultimately decided to purchase that dump truck from just one bid. And once again, we're, as accountants, I can't comment on the engineering specs, but it also, again, appeared that the bidding process seemed to have violated the spirit of open and competitive bidding. Okay. The last item which I want to bring to your attention, which is in our report, is we looked at the language of the overall bond ordinances. And we noticed that the bond ordinances were written properly in conjunction with local bond law. And there's one specific section of that local bond law for the purpose of I guess, gearing the money towards the purpose of the project and not for interest or engineering costs or other items, that each bond ordinance, and the ordinance has an amount which says that the total lease, and I'll call them soft costs, cannot exceed a certain amount. So since we saw that in the bond ordinance, we picked a few bond ordinances, and we looked at all the expenditures underneath the bond ordinances, and we segregated out the ones which we thought were pretty clear that met these soft costs, and they were substantially engineering. So at least in two instances, we found in ordinance number 7-2006 and 7000-2007 that the borough, and I think unknowingly, exceeded the amount of limited soft costs that were in the bond ordinance, therefore also probably being in violation of that local bond law. And respectfully, that's the highlights of 25 man weeks of work, a staff of four of us that dedicated to this job. We thank the borough employees, were most helpful. I know nobody likes pulling invoices from 5 years ago, but everybody was most cooperative. Whatever you did have, I believe you gave it to us, and that's the result. And after one sip of water, I'll answer everybody's questions.
Okay. Well, Mr. Snyder, to the best of your ability, you know, and I'm not asking you to interpret law, there was nothing that you saw where you suspected any criminal activity. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Yeah, that word is not in my report.
Okay. And do you feel that we, of many of the things that you identified here as being substandard, do you feel that we have adequate protections in place at the moment to prevent these from happening again?
I don't know if I've done enough work to
okay.
But I certainly see a general improvement, and where I did, I commented on
okay.
I mean, I can't comment that because I can't tell you
nothing outside
on the open and bidding process. That's how you think.
Okay.
So I can't. I have no way to comment on that.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Levy. I know you have a lot of questions.
I'll go last because David was the first one that had a question, so let him go. You know.
Oh, I see Rob with his hand up. So, Mr. Torres, let you go first.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Well, Mrs. Snyder, in all due respect, this report. A lot of work went into it. It seems that the first thing that came to my mind was, where's the revenue side? And where's the comparison between the expenditures and the revenues? I see exhibits here after the green page, 45, you know, or 46 exhibits based on the expenditures. And you did somewhat on those, what were the 8 or 9 instances that you went into, you know, matched up maybe the grants that we got, you know, were the bids. So the expenditures kind of were matched up. But I didn't see the overall, like the revenue compared to the expenditure kind of thing. So I had other you know, questions that are probably irrelevant as well. With that in mind, was there an inventory, physical inventory done of like equipment and machinery, for example, like in a standard audit?
We actually asked for that early on, and the answer was no, if I remember correctly.
What do you mean no? Who did you ask, and what do you mean
I
no?
I think I asked Rich Phelan if that existed. In your municipal audit reports, there was a line item for inventory and maybe fixed assets. I said, does the schedule exist?
Okay.
And I can tell you nobody could produce one for me.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a big question of mine. What other were prior managers consulted at all besides for Ms. Fenn?
What was the last?
Were prior managers
contacted? Besides for Mr. Fallon?
No.
No.
Okay. Another question. Well, how about a reconciliation of bank accounts that were, you know, outstanding from... I know we had a larger number, say, for example, in 2006 to what we have now. And, of course, over the course of years, many of these were
closed and money was transferred in and out of these accounts. But I'm just curious as to if there was an investigation as to these accounts themselves, and possibly, from my viewpoint, you know, it just begs the question, how come there's, like, no check into that? Because it's quite possible that there could be money sitting in some hold, maybe, or unused, or somehow money got transferred into one of these accounts that's still out there, possibly. I mean, so these are just questions that just came to mind regarding this. How about payroll and benefits? Were they just clumped together in your reports? Because I don't see it, like, separated out. I know you had difficulty.
No, we looked at that analytically.
Prior to Ed Evans.
In each of the departments.
Okay.
In each of the departments, the first few lines are normal and payroll benefits. We looked at that analytically. As I pointed out my example to you on the general administrator, I mean, we go down the line of them and see all of a sudden in 2010 it dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through that and on a department by department basis. And if you look at the police department, you can see the costs are there between when you ran it and when
it's run
centralized.
But I guess the perspective that I'm looking for was from doing this kind of audit, maybe it was just my expectations, but was there a verification of the number of employees, say? Like, do we actually have those employees on the books that, you know, I mean, if it's forensic audit, isn't that kind of what you're supposed to do?
Well,
I don't tell you.
That's our judgment. We, as I said, we could have been here for 5 years, doing the 5 years' worth of transactions. We made a professional judgment.
Well, in all due respect, we paid you a lot of money to use to do an audit.
You paid me a fair competitive bid.
I feel shortchanged in a way.
And don't feel too shortchanged. I actually incurred a significant amount of chargeable time up and above my contract amount, which I'm not asking the council for.
That's another issue. Okay. What about other people? How many people did you actually interview, say, for example, to get information from? And then what actual exhibits, like, could you provide us with?
Well,
besides for the expenditures, which you did do a thorough job of.
Yeah, my report speaks for itself. As accountants, we were following the money, okay? And we took...
There's two sides to the money. It comes in and it goes out. You only did goes out, from my viewpoint.
So in essence, as to what we did, respectfully... Report
so in other words, you stand behind what you're saying, of course. Okay. I guess that concludes my question. Someone else can have a turn.
Okay. Mr. Valentine, you have anything?
No.
Okay. Mr. Higgins.
Sure. All right. You started out by saying over a five-year period, we spent $150 million and some change, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And that included everything. We paid the school taxes. We paid the county taxes.
Yes.
Okay. So... I have our annual audit here from 2009-2010, done by our auditor. Each year was considerably less than $20 million, and that included the payments that we made to the county, to the schools. So if it's less than 20, so we're under $40 million for 2 years, so for 3 years, we spent $110 million, and we spent more than $110 million in 3 years.
Well, I know for 5 years you spent 150.
I'm saying that for the last 2 years of that, we only spent 35 million.
Yeah, I didn't actually spread it by each of the 5 years individually. I did that by department individually by the years. But I did not for the total one.
The question that I have, sir, is this. If we raised less than $20 million total in 2010 and less than $20 million in 2009, and we have actually increased our tax rate considerably over those 2 years, how can we spend $150 million in 5 years?
Oh, these are your bill lists. These are 100% of your bill list, checked by a check, approved by the, approved by council meetings, and that's what we started with, because that's what we had to go with, so.
Please, I'm not attacking you. I'm having a hard time understanding.
We didn't reconcile those to your audited financial statements.
I understand how we can spend more than we take in.
Oh, once in a while, and the recreation committee is a good example. A committee commission is a good example of this. Once in a while, within these disbursements, okay, when the town initially, 2006 to 2008, you had the commission, I forgot that, right? Okay, so the borough dedicated approximately $80,000, if I remember right, to the commission. That ends up as a disbursement from the
General account.
From general to the from the borough, from exhibit.
Okay.
So from exhibit, I want to give it to you right, so we don't screw up. From exhibit 20. From exhibit 20, which goes into the fund for exhibit 17. So in that sense, the money, I don't say double counting, that's misleading, but it went through the process twice. So the town gave it to itself, and the committee spent it, and then all rate control itself. So there are some instances where we're funding, where, you know, especially in your loans, where we're funding other funds. So I don't take it that there's 150 million, maybe this will help you. There's 150 million of third-party disbursements, but there was $150 million of transactions being dispersed through your accounting department. Because sometimes we funded other funds.
Okay, even so, at $80,000 a year for 2 years, the two-year period, you were 2006, 2007, right? 2006 is where you started?
Yes.
2006, 2007. Okay, that's roughly $240,000, right? About $320,000 over a three-year period. The problem that I have here is that we spent more money than we took in, and since you brought up the recommendation, let me ask you a question.
Well, you can't say that from my report.
Okay, from your report, but I have.
I understand we're doing a different process.
The question that I have is, what happened to the money that was left in the recreation fund when they disbanded the recreation fund? Where did that money go?
Okay, let's see. Let's go to that exhibit, and that exhibit, let's get the right exhibit.
Basically, what happened was it was reverted back to the town because that's the way the ordinance
right.
was written.
Okay, and the town spent it in the last 2 years, and we've shown that. And that.
But that was unanticipated revenue then for the town.
Well, it wasn't new money when money was there.
But it wasn't the town's, it was the recreation. Right, okay.
It was assumed by the town.
Okay.
Those balances were assumed by the town and spent by the town
okay.
in 2009 and 2010.
I have another question for you about the inner funds, if I can.
Sure.
Right now you said we started out at $4.3 million, just to round it off, and we're down to $900,000 now. My question is, did you do the sewer account?
Yes.
And that's including the sewer account, which
yes.
is $900,000.
Yes.
Even less, because that's just in 2010. That doesn't include last year.
But we were at 1.4 last year, or 1.1, with just the sewer account. And we only paid back $56,000 or $65,000 to the general account.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check on that. Okay. Now, another question is, for the bidding processes that you mentioned here, was there anything illegal about what was done?
I'm not a lawyer.
Okay.
And I can't comment on that, but I've given you the facts as I saw them.
Now, you said something that really piques my interest. The first $1.3 million of that DPW garage, I think your words were, it has no value. You couldn't
well,
see any value in the $1.3 million. And I know you didn't check it, so that's not a fair question. But you said that you and your auditors saw no value.
Right,
the
because we started over. Because we started over again in the new contract, redoing the engineering, because your engineers commented to what they had to work with was inadequate.
Okay, so there was inadequate design from the previous engineer. That's what caused the $75,000 increase out of that $1.6 million. The soft cost.
You have to reword that.
Design.
I heard the words, I'm not sure I understand the question, so.
But you went over that $1.6 million for the road department garage that, before that was passed in 2008?
2007, ordinance 7, that's 2007.
There was $75,000 in there for design costs.
In the construction contract.
Okay, so that raises the question.
In the construction contract.
Okay.
I don't want to say there was no other.
Okay, that's fine.
In the ordinance.
That's fair. But after researching with our current engineer who oversaw the finish of the project, you're saying that he said that he needed the $75,000 extra because of inadequate, there was an inadequate design from the previous engineer.
We saw a letter to that effect.
From our current engineer.
I think I quoted it. Yeah.
It's on page 4.
Okay. Well, that's good. Let's see here. Alright, so going back to the very start. No hard copies or electronic backup when we transferred systems. Okay. Isn't there some type of federal law that says you have to keep your financial records for 7 years?
I think there are certainly suggestions for audit purposes that is...
But my question is, do you know if there is a federal law?
I can't tell you if there's a law.
Okay.
I know that's good practice, good accounting practice, and we preach that to our clients.
Good accounting practice. Alright, so we don't know if that's a law. But doesn't the state have a requirement for maintaining financial records?
I can't comment on the law. I don't know the answer to it as a legal question.
Okay. But in your report, you're saying that wasn't done. Okay. That's fine. But you are seeing a upswing. We're starting to do things right.
In that area.
Okay.
Yes. And your new system, I thought was good.
Okay. And just one other question to dovetail off of the question that Mr. Torres asked. Other than staff, how many individuals were interviewed?
We didn't know in interviews, and I actually didn't even count the people.
You didn't count?
No, it wasn't a people, it was a document and a count.
Well, the only reason why I asked...
I didn't go interviewing the world. We were looking at documents and transactions. And
all right, let me ask you this question, and then I'll be done. Did you talk to any current sitting council member?
I think not.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, I'm done.
Okay, Mrs. Gleba.
Okay. We'll just go through page 5. There. Just to clarify, because you summarized that whole DPW garage, talking about the hard costs of development and construction. So did you look at what the total cost was for the borough, hard and soft costs, and what is the percentage of that $2.9 million ordinance?
As I mentioned to you, some of those costs were physically expended prior to 2006. So I didn't see them.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see them.
The 2005 ones.
And or before. But I can tell you from the, when we reconciled the ordinances, you had $2.7 million of ordinances dedicated towards that project.
So yeah, $2.9 million in ordinances.
Right.
I guess I'm wondering how much did we actually expend, and did we go over that 2.9, or were we under the 2.9?
Well, I can answer that from the 2007. We didn't notice you going over in the 2007 ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't tell you what you dispersed prior to our audit period. But I think the real answer to your question is
so, okay, so you're saying the 2007 ordinance was $1.6 million and we spent $1.5 million.
Right, and at the end of the day, I mean, it's our feeling, although I didn't touch those early transactions, that if I look at your hard costs in the construction, which was
1.5.
Yes, it was 1.57. That's correct. Mm-hmm. And just compare that to the 2,970, part of which was expended prior to my period, which, as I said before, I could see no prior value that came forward. Therefore, to me, 53% was spent on hard costs.
Okay. All right. We'll move on. For the recreation, can you explain like exactly the difference between Exhibit 17 and 20? Because it's kind of like misleading as far as the recreation expenditure. You know, like right. It is.
Don't say misleading.
Like, Exhibit 17 isn't showing what we.
Hold on. Is it 17 or 20?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's do that. That's a fine question. I actually knew that would be. 17 is the, I'll call it the fund that initially was established by the initial commission. Hope I get my words right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So 17 is the initial commission's monies expended in 2006, 7, and 8. Now, in 2009 and 2010, and that fund, when the town took over, there was some cash left over, and they spent it on, in 2009, 2010, on the line items that you see. Now, to really understand the recreation as a total, you have to mentally add these two exhibits, and when you look at Exhibit 20,
mm-hmm.
the borough that the money put in, the 70 and the 82 and 86,
mm-hmm.
I'll call it doesn't count because that's not third-party expenditures, because that just reflected here that went out. So if you want to understand the money which went out the door on the recreation, it's the five columns on Exhibit 17.
Mm-hmm. Plus.
And the two columns of 2009 and 2010 on Exhibit 20.
Well, for example, for 2006 on Exhibit 20, the $70,000 that was the contribution from the borough. Is that somewhere on Exhibit 17?
Yes. Well, the monies came into the cash, and here's how they were expended.
So you wouldn't add okay.
They were expended within the $179,000, and of course that included other fees, user fees, which the Recreation Commission collected. So respectfully, it's 70 of your own money and 109 of raised money.
So they spent 109. Okay. And then, but a grand total of 179 was spent, and then...
That's correct, in that year.
All right. Okay, I'll play around with those numbers. Then on page 14... Almost like a follow-up, like you said, you followed the money. If the ordinance was for $1 million for the truck, and our cost ended up being $475,000 because we got the grants and they lowered the price, et cetera. So do you know, by looking at all our records, if we canceled the remaining $525,000 from that ordinance, or are we still paying the bill?
No. There was a couple things happening here. The effective ordinance was 875 because the federal money was not as much as we thought. So we initially thought the federal money was 500, ended up being 375.
Right.
Okay. Now, if your question was,
Well, but we still had it, we still took out an ordinance appropriating $1 million.
Yes.
Our ordinance is $1 million.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, but in the end, the borough only paid $475,000. Was funded by, right there in your...
Well, yes, from bonds and...
So when you're following the money, did you see how the rest of that money was canceled out?
It wasn't spent. I followed the money, respectfully, that was spent.
So how do we know what happened to the other money, then?
There was no other money, it was...
How do we know it was canceled?
Oh, you might have it on the books, but it would have to have been expended for us to capture it. So we capture the expenditures. So your expenditures, was the 475.
Okay.
Ms. Blanchard might be able to answer your question a little.
Okay, no, I'm trying to understand the thoroughness of the investigation, where it stopped kind of thing.
Okay.
You were just looking at that. Page 16, so I'm trying to move along. So do you have any recommendations for us to, like, fix that? Should we be changing the wording in our ordinances? I guess that's one of my questions. Do you have any recommendations to us? Are you going to provide any recommendations with your findings?
This is my report.
That's okay. Okay, so were there any other, so all other categories, like the police department, the entire sewer operations, the grants that you looked at, everything was fine. No major red flags anywhere else. These are the only things you identified.
Yeah, we looked at every single area.
Okay.
Okay, this is what rose to the top that we thought was necessary to bring to your attention.
Okay, that's good news. How do we follow up with you as far as questions? Can you come back, or can we email you questions? Can we call you? And will the town get copies of everything you inputted, those transactions between 2006 and 2008? Will we get that hard digital copy now?
It's electronic format.
Uh-huh.
in a database.
Right.
That we didn't necessarily print out. We print out the pieces that we used.
Right.
So respectfully...
Since it's now electronic and digitally, you won't provide that to the borough so that we have it digitally.
It's not in a readable data form. You need the software.
Mm-hmm.
You need the software to read the data. It's not in a common Word or Excel or anything else. Respectfully, it's in a forensic accounting database analysis piece of software in that proprietary format. So that data.
Okay.
And that can help you.
Then the follow-up.
And after that, as far as asking questions after this,
right.
That should be referred to the CFO or the manager for their input.
Okay. So give them our questions, and they'll go contact
them. They will do their best to answer them at that point.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Torres, you had something else?
Yeah. Supposing that we wanted other things investigated, like the revenues in comparison. And a schedule of every choice.
Oh,
anything else?
Okay.
That's a new contract now.
Well, yeah, I was, concerned with that. And as I had said earlier, I'm at least disappointed in your, procedure, basically. I would be certainly willing to get other information that, could help us in these other areas that maybe you didn't look at.
Mr. Snyder, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor, is there any opportunity for the other to make any comments?
Well, not at this point, but during the audience portion you may, which is coming up next.
Mr. Snyder won't be here.
He will not. Okay.
That's bullshit.
At this point, I will open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests.
Okay. Right off the bat, Rudy Bashir, 191 Broad Street, Washington.
Can I excuse 1 minute? I apologize. May I have one word with you?
Sure.
Can we do that?
Sure. Privately?
Please.
Okay.
I make a motion we take a 5 minute break.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. I think he should have let the public know.
Because that's all part of this bullshit report, this one.
Well, I don't know what bullshit.
I would forget, when they did an act, they had to come in and do full physical inquiry. They didn't match up. They look for fictitious employees. They look for things like this.
Thank you for at least asking one question. I wanted to recommend this, I wanted to know that.
Yeah, and
I think the public should have had an opportunity to.
I mean, that's not.
I mean, that was the whole purpose of the attorney.
The internal measure, so, yeah, that's it.
The attorney went, okay, we did that, okay, that's on him,
I was expecting that too, yeah, so that we can make our fixes. I mean, fortunately, a lot doesn't have to be fixed, but. That may be now that we saw those things, that's something we'll have to do, we'll have to worry about, we'll have to do. And I didn't ask about those. Yeah, that's exactly what I just said to her. Some things are fine. We don't have. There's not one of them. So do you know for page 16 what's the fix? Tell me what's the fix.
He said the only ones that rose to the surface were the ones that had problems, and now those things have been fixed.
No, not all of them. Obviously, look at page 16. Clearly, certain things, or the bidding process. I mean, hopefully, after Richard fixes that, it is fixed. Yeah.
The bidding process.
And I didn't ask about that, did I?
Yeah, the bidding process says Wednesday.
If it's been fixed, I didn't ask about it, John.
So what's on page 16 of your question? Okay, so what's the question on 16?
How would you recommend? Should we change the wording in that ordinance?
I'm confused here.
Well, I got to go to the bathroom before I find out.
Would you give her a shot?
I'm talking to you.
Can you give her a shot?
Here's Michelle.
So who should have won last night, Dallas, is that Mr. Ross, who goes over this list, doesn't council have to do this?
It's the process, but now, when it's...
Which means you had council, would have had to approve the access.
I don't know, it doesn't...
Did you get questions? So maybe that's something, that we have to ask town manager, but we'll have to find out. And the council, apparently, they did, because if you see the board, then...
Okay, we're back. Back at the podium. Mr. Bashir.
Why is Mr. Schneider not here to answer some of our questions?
All questions from this point forward will be directed to the manager and the CFO. This was a discussion that Mr. Schneider had with both Ms. Blanchard and myself previously.
What about the rest of council? How come we weren't involved in this discussion?
Because you weren't.
That's...
What does that mean?
Yeah, it kind of answers that, Scott.
Mr. Bashir has the floor right now.
That's my question, is why weren't we, the residents, the people that started this activity, permitted to ask questions? We spent our time and our effort in doing this. This audit report, as far as I'm concerned right now, is crap. According to his contract that he signed with the council, the borough, we will request interviews with individuals including but not limited to current employees, volunteers, and vendors. As necessary, permitted by law, we will request interviews with past employees, volunteers, vendors related to specific occurrences of inconsistencies, errors, and or fraud. That's in his contract. He's been contacted by a number of volunteers, employees, okay, citizens, and he has not gotten back. Ignored our calls.
I believe he requested the information in writing, did he not?
No, he did not. He never called back. I was told he would call me back. I got no calls back. Mr. Feldman got no calls back. And I can cite a number of other residents that called, volunteers, got no callbacks. When he picked up the discrepancy with the dump truck, did he meet with the DPW supervisor? No. When he had a question, he thought there was inconsistencies or unfair bidding with the fire truck. Did he talk to the chief? No. He is in violation of his own contract. He was supposed to meet with people. We spent our time. We contacted him. We gave him information. We told him we wanted to talk to him. He ignored us.
He said he did speak to people. He didn't. He just didn't.
Two people.
Well, he won't tell you. I can't say who, but
I know the two because I talked to him. Okay, and only two. And after that, he wouldn't talk to anybody. He told us through his secretary that he would get back to us. How many times do we have to go after him? We don't get any callbacks. Next, if we had disbursements of $150 million in that five-year span, and let's say we averaged in $20 million taking it in, and our taxes have increased 2008, 2009, 2010,
substantially, they've increased to a maximum of 18 million, let's say 20 million. That means in 2005, somehow council had a surplus of $50 million that they were able to pay bills on. Where's that $50 million? Where is the revenue coming in? How much revenue came in on the audit? He's just looking at the disbursements. BFD. That's of no value, just looking at disbursements. The money came in and went to where? Went out for what? Okay? Has he been paid his full $87,500? No.
We have the last payments made. We're three quarters of the way there.
Three quarters. I request you folks go into executive session and discuss this in detail and earnest, because this report, although I haven't read it, I didn't have a copy, nobody had a copy till tonight, okay, to really look over this thing, there's nothing in it for us. We're just spending money for nothing, for paper, as far as I'm concerned. I will request a copy tomorrow of this, so I can do a further analysis myself. But this is bull. We should be able to talk and get to Mr. Schneider, get our questions answered. This is not right that he was allowed to leave without us being able to ask questions of him. It's a disgrace. What kind of a council do we have here? Do you just do what you want to do to throw the citizens aside?
Excuse me, Rudy, but that was a decision not of the council. It was of the mayor.
Why was it just the mayor that made that decision? Where's
that.
The rest of the council to overrule him? Sitting there with a real darn smug face on like you do most of the time.
Ma'am, Mr. Bashir has the floor. If you wish to
Why
speak, you may come up to the podium.
I will relinquish the floor. I'm done.
Thank you.
I think we all have
if you
a
would
lot
like,
to say here.
If you would like to come up to the podium,
yeah,
please.
I am hoping.
Up to the podium, please,
I am
and your
hoping.
Name and address for the
yeah,
record.
105 Harding Drive, Elaine Geshart. And I hope because of the way I have seen you behave and act and treat people, I hope that you do not get elected.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Wasting our money. Yeah, let that guy go, and we all should have had the chance to ask questions.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
Yes, everybody better get up and say something.
Penny Shaw, 22 School Street. What is the form of government we have here in this town? Is the mayor the leader and the council the subsequent followers, or are we individual? Is he equal as each of you? Or does his vote supersede you all?
Yes.
Answer me. Somebody answer me. What's the form of government?
In the council manager.
Sir, I want it
I'm
from
sorry.
Someone else because
I'm sorry.
Just to be
I was
open
just
and fair.
To answer your question. Please.
Christine, anyone?
It is a council manager form of government.
Right. So his vote is equal to each of you?
Yes.
Then why, mm-hmm. sir? Did you take it upon yourself, with complete and utter disregard to the vote that was taken by the public, by the taxes we've paid to, which we've been encumbered upon by our own vote, to get such results and ask questions of this individual? How can you justify your actions tonight and other nights? Perhaps, as she said, you were smug. That I have seen on occasion, more than I would like. But how dare you, and to be honest, guys, how dare you all not stand for the democratic process that you were all voted in for? How dare you? You were all voted in. He should not have allowed that man to walk out the door and to tell me that I'm sorry he told me I can't talk to you. How?
Who told you he can't talk to?
Mr. Schneider. I walked out there and he said, I can't talk to you.
What?
And I said, no, sir, we voted on this. We paid for it. I want to talk to you. He said, hold on. I'll have to go back and talk to the mayor. And he came back in and had the discussion with the mayor. And next thing I know, because I was out there, I wasn't in here for the discussion, so I didn't hear it. I don't know if any of you heard it. he said to me out there that the mayor told him he does not have to respond to the public.
Oh, my.
Is that...
Shame.
Is that adequate? I mean, is that true?
In the discussion that Mr. Schneider and I had, previous to the meeting...
No, he came this evening.
No, I'm going to go there.
Okay.
He was reluctant to take questions from the audience. He let this be known to Ms. Blanchard earlier. He and I discussed it. I said, fine, if you don't wish to take questions from the audience, we will keep it to the council. And as the person who has control over the agenda, I did not allow questions from the audience, and I allowed him to leave.
So, Penny, for the record, that is part of the mayor's function. It's basically like a council president, runs the meetings, and has a single vote just like the rest of us.
Okay.
But I did think that was a little out of line to go into a private discussion without even discussing with the rest of the council, Scott.
Okay. So noted.
And the public is noted on it as well, sir. I feel so disparaged by your actions tonight, by your disregard for everything that everybody has done to just prove that, yes, we are doing things correctly, or perhaps we need to tweak things and make them better. But you just shoved that all under the water. You just drowned us and told us you are insignificant. Sir, you cannot do that. You cannot. It's inappropriate. Shameful. That is just utterly shameful.
Susan Sloan, 89 Grand Avenue. I'm actually very pleased with the audit. I was pleased with Mr. Schneider. He categorically did not find fraud. Perhaps he's not the best speaker, but I think the man spent countless hours proving that our town is not fraudulent. And that, I disagree with my fellow citizens about hauling him on the carpet for some figures that are in the book. To know that we had the last 5 years analyzed, and I think it was to the penny, and the $150 million is not what we took in, it's what we dispersed. He tried to explain that. The man's not loquacious. We knew there was trouble with the borough garage, that they found that. We know that we paid more than we should have. We knew that. And he put it in black and white. That we knew. We've heard the rumors and everything, there was a trouble with the fire truck. We have to go back and understand how those funds were dispersed, and it's in the report. There were problems with the streets and roads, how we decided on, he thought that was weak, that certain roads that were not... suggested or were not designated, which we were going to do, but certain ones got done, and that was a little vague to him, which I can understand. And he found that there were there were problems with the year-to-year inner funds, which we have to. But he said that we were improving. That to me. Whether we can call him on the carpet for every, I assume it's all in the report, line by line. And that's what we as citizens have to look through. I'm not going to get into the discussion of whether the mayor's right, wrong, or indifferent. I know that I could tell this man had been through it. He was not partial. He was totally above all the little scrappings that go on in this town. He did it without prejudice, and I think we should let it stand, and I'm pleased with it. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I got one other comment, request. Rudy Bashir again. I request that council make available as soon as possible the audit report via Oprah, and that Mr. Snyder be here in the first meeting in June to answer questions presented by the residents, the Borough of Washington, as to his audit and his findings. And that he not be paid another dime until after that meeting and everybody is satisfied with the quality of his activities. I'm sure he spent a lot of time, but how can you have disbursements of $150 million when you're averaging a high of $20 million a year? And what about, as you stated, Mr. Torres, the money that came in, the revenue? How can you spend more than you take in and not be a finding? I request that a council before the end of this meeting.
Rudy, if I could answer that. As far as his contract is concerned, he's completed his contract. He presented us with a report. That was the final thing he had to do for his job. Submit a report to the council. He can be asked to come back to answer questions. That will bear another charge.
Another charge.
And he could politely tell us no, that he's not coming back.
Fine.
And he's well within his contractual
Fine.
Rights.
But he has violated his contractual rights by not talking to the residents. It's in his contract.
I understand what
Only
you're saying.
Only if he found a need to talk to other people.
It doesn't
he
say
got,
that
he got
a
the
need.
He got the answer.
It doesn't say a need.
He didn't say he had to talk to people.
He will interview. We called him. We told him we wanted to speak to him specifically. We talked to his secretary. We got no callbacks. We got no status.
He only took the one hand.
He's in violation of his contract. Council should not pay him another dime until he comes, first meeting in June, to answer the questions of the residents.
So
I'll
request that it be done tonight.
Jeff Riker, 22 School Street.
I have a question and a comment.
Okay.
The question is a copy of this report to be made available for the public? You just
yes.
got it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have it tonight, but copies will be available. Do we have an electronic copy to put on the website?
I don't, but we scan a copy. It'll be in PDF format on the website, and then I'll have...
Do we have an estimated time frame when that'll be?
No,
you know
website.
What? I will offer my contract, my findings, to the public. If anybody wants to use it, just return it back to Christine whenever. So if anybody wants it, I don't need mine any longer. I've read through mine.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
Absolutely.
It'll be on the website on Thursday in PDF format, and other copies will be made tomorrow. So anybody who wants one can stop by and get it. They'll be in my office after 10.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. The statement, I think this gentleman hit the nail right on the head. Basic accounting principles 101. You have to look at what basically amounts to as debits and credits, your income and your outflow.
You are an accountant, are you not, Mr. Riker?
No, I'm an estimator.
I'm sorry.
I work on contracts.
Sorry.
For accounting. It's a related field.
Gotcha.
But not direct. But getting back to my comment, I heard a great deal of effort on the expenditure side, which is fine. However, without showing an inflow or a revenue side, it loses perspective. It does not have a compare and contrast asset to it. And without that, I think the report is flawed. This is my statement.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Seeing none, I would accept a motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Mr. Mayor, I have a question.
Any abstentions? Yes, sir.
We're talking about revenue versus expenditure on this. Just to dovetail off on this real quick. Can we, for that time period from 2006 to 2010, can we get the actual revenues from our CFO, what was brought in? I mean, that'll be a simple question, right? Over the five-year period, we took this in. We have the expenditures right here.
Yeah. Any other questions in regards to the audit or the investigation can be offered to the manager and CFO also.
I would appreciate it.
Well, can I dovetail off of that now instead of my council remarks? Would it be possible, because I don't have it in front of me, for the attorney and the manager to review the resolution and like bid specifications for the forensic investigation? Was it ever specified to do both the, you know, expenditures versus the revenues?
I
kind of was expecting both myself. And then also, could the attorney review the actual contract to Rudy's question as far as
to say
being involved, was he really in violation? Because I don't believe he was. I think, you know, if he needed to speak with anyone, he was free to interview anyone he wanted. If he chose not to interview, I don't think there was a set that he had to. What exactly was?
Well, early in the process, if you remember, a question came up in regards to that as to people that he interviewed, and it was at his discretion, and he had that discretion.
Right, that's my point. That's why I don't believe he is in violation. Yeah. He had that discretion.
To whoever he wanted to interview
wanted.
Or not.
Right.
It's up to him.
Thank you.
Sure.
dealing with the ordinances and the overspending on the ordinances, if you have an ordinance for X amount of dollars and you overspend, doesn't the overspend, the additional part have to be approved by council?
You wouldn't overspend the for borrowing. If you have an ordinance that you're going to borrow $1 million and you're going to spend $1 million, if it's $1,100,000, you spend $1 million and that $100,000 got to come out of the general account. Or you have to go back out for a new bond ordinance for the $100,000.
He's referring to the question I had on that page 16.
And those over expenditures probably led to a lot of interfunds transfers. That would be my thought on that.
Oh, so that whoever was charged.
Well, actually, it wouldn't be the over expenditures.
How were those overages paid?
What it would be if you had a bond ordinance for $500,000 and you went out and you borrowed the entire $500,000, but you only used $300,000 of it, that $200,000 that we borrowed is cash in our hands that can be used for interfunds.
True, that's also.
That's how that goes. It's not that, the interfunds by overextending.
My thought was that they overextended, they take out of the sewer account, as we know a lot was taken out of there to account for that over expenditure.
But we're talking about the cost in excess of the bond ordinance. So we don't really know on that thing.
Page 16.
That chart where
it
says.
The chart. He's saying that we overextended on the soft cost. You're only allowed 20% of your bond ordinance for engineering and legal fees. He's saying we overextended what we were allowed on our soft costs.
Okay.
Not that we overextended the ordinance.
Right.
That was bad.
So where did the money come from, though?
It came out of the ordinance. She's right. 5-2000, I think, was it, or 2-2000, the ordinance there from 2000? It was for $600,000?
That's
for the DPW.
That's not what we're talking
that's
about.
But listen, here's the soft cost for that should have been 20%. 20% of $600,000 is what? $120,000? If you go back and check to see how much was spent in soft costs of that $600,000, I bet you're over $500,000. And that's where that statement says you're not supposed to exceed
20%.
For soft cost of what the bond is. Engineering and legal fees, I'll bet you, because I've looked at that, are over $400,000 out of that one ordinance.
Before any litigation.
Maybe?
Before any litigation. Before the current legal cost.
All right, that moves us to ordinances. Ordinance 3-2012, a refunding bond ordinance. This is the public hearing and adoption. At this point, I'll open up the public hearing on ordinance 3-2012. It is appropriating $850,000 in bonds to...
We're refinancing $850,000.
Refinance, thank you. Refinance. We've already had.
On our cost, on our payment.
So is this on or what?
Well, we have the public hearing open now, so I guess we accept the motion to close the public hearing since no one has...
Was there any discussion?
So move, close the public.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? And now a motion to adopt?
So move.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Valentine?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Glavis?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Okay, reports.
Make a motion we receive and file the report as presented.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the reports?
Of course.
Mr. Higgins, what do you have?
I have January, February, and March police reports.
Which one are we looking at first?
No, we can take them all. We can take them all.
Okay.
All right. Just for example.
Yeah.
In January of 2002, there were total criminal investigations. Washington Township, 52. The borough had 38. In February, total criminal investigations. The township had 44. The borough had 27. Criminal complaints in March. The township had 50. The borough had 48. If you go back over these 3 months, the only thing that we've had higher was in March. We had 3 more criminal arrests. And in January, motor vehicle summonses was 99 for the township. It was 178 for the borough. That includes overnight parking tickets. Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Anything else?
Oh, I wanted to just congratulate the Veolia Water and the sewer plant employees for getting the Municipal OPEX Award.
Anything
they came
else?
In second place out of 300 regional plants. Our sewer plant came in second place, so that's so they received this Municipal OPEX Award. So for safety, ingenuity, and community service, so it's some good news.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. I see none on the agenda for committee reports. Is there anything last minute?
No.
Okay. Do we have the public hearing on sewer connection fees, which will be established on Resolution 83-2012. Do I need to do the public hearing first? Or?
I can just state that it's the new fee for 2012 is $4,881 for connecting into the borough sewer system.
Okay. Christine, that's a change of how much exactly from previous?
Last year it was $4,341 last year.
It's not that much.
Yeah.
So at this point, I'll open up the public hearing on the sewer connection fees. Accept the motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? That brings us to Resolution 83-2012.
Make a motion.
Second.
83.
What did I say?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Cleveland?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Okay, we have no old business, new business. Resolution 81-2012 to designate Christine Blanchard as the Deferred Compensation Plan Coordinator.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? 82-2012 for a tax sale certificate.
Make a motion.
Second.
Any discussion on that one? Roll call, please.
Correct.
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Cleveland?
Yes.
Approval of the shared service agreement for the library director.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion on this? Have a roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Cleveland?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
I guess this is too late to go back and ask a question.
Go ahead.
49.9%
yes.
of the time she's going to be working for the borough. So that means they have control over her.
The school board does.
Yes.
They're paying her salary and benefits. No, I mean,
what are we
pay our share to them. But it's coming out of their budget.
No. For the simple reason that they have, I don't know why it's not 50-50.
It had to be this way.
They have control.
I got to remember.
We're paying 49.9%. We have no control again.
Again. But.
Yeah. That's the way it was last year. I forget the reason.
Somebody had to be in control.
Yeah, there's something. There was.
Unfortunately,
okay.
I don't remember why.
Yeah, me either. I mean,
yeah. Okay. Well,
somebody has to have the control.
That's my reason.
I remember. And that's why it was worked the way it was. Okay. Did we finish the vote on that?
Yes.
Okay. And that brings us to 85-2012, authorizing a contract for the audit of the wastewater system contract operator.
I'll make the motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay.
This has already been discussed previously, and it was added to this year's budget.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we can make sure that the sewer treatment plant is operating as it should be on a financial basis.
I thought if we were, when we did discuss it a long time ago, that it was to have them review the contract. And nowhere in there, in the letter, are they mentioning them looking at the contract. I thought that's what you wanted originally, Dave, for them to look at the contract.
Well, I think it's to make sure that they're following the contract as opposed to reviewing the contract.
Well, it says right there in the scope of services from October 11th on page 1, number all the way down to bottom, number 1. If necessary, other personnel will audit the wastewater system, private contract.
Where?
On page 1 of the... page 1 of the letter from October 11th from...
What paragraph?
Public Works. Number 1 said, meet with contract operators, project manager, scope of services. This proposal provides the same limited audit conducted in 2007. We'll audit the wastewater system private contract
operator
as follows. And then number 2, meet with the borough manager to determine his perspective and the mayor and council's perspective.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I thought they were looking at the contract as well. And I also saw in his letter on October 11th, it said the borough hired. I thought it was the bid that hired them and paid for them.
It was.
But
that's a mistake. So, that should be
fine. He provided that to the April. Yes.
Okay.
Good. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Correa?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Cleveland?
No.
Higgins?
Yes.
Okay, and resolution 86-2012, appointing Christine Blanchard as the Clean Communities Coordinator.
So moved.
Okay, any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And any abstentions? we have vouchers.
Well, wait a second.
I'm sorry. I missed this one. The Recreation Commission recycling garbage containers.
So we...
Can we read it all?
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. This is so that to apply for a grant so that the Recreation Commission can...
No, it's not. We already have the money.
Yeah, we have the money.
To purchase slant top barrel with aluminum plate lid waste receptacles.
And the Clean Communities grant.
Right. Yes. We already have received it.
My question earlier was, that's just the total price. Are they going to cement those posts in? Because if they do, they're going to need money for the cement.
I have a question. Is that within our purchasing threshold? So it didn't have to be bid for?
It's on state contract.
Okay.
So it is, well, we can...
It's an exception.
Make this purchase, yes.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
And to answer your question, Dave, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if they...
All right, listen. All right, let me ask this question.
Yeah, how are they being installed?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yes,
yeah,
and I spoke and used, they are getting brackets and, what did you call it before? A pole?
Yeah, the post.
Oh, so put in the ground. So I thought that's how they were being installed. I heard nothing about cementing them in.
With that aside, I don't have a problem with it. But if they're counting on you're the liaison, right, Scott?
Yes.
Did they meet with the road department to ask them to put them in?
I know that they have had conversations with Ms. Blanchard as to things that need to be done, whether that in particular was stated, I don't recall.
Okay, and how much will we have left then in the Clean Communities grant?
I was just going to ask that.
Let's see, approximately $27,000 after this is done.
I have a comment to the actual purchases of these particular, this many, because you made a good point in your report that which I kind of agree with. I think that half the amount is more appropriate. 24 seems excessive to me. At $400 a pop, it's expensive. I know these things are, but 24. I mean, we're going to have
it
taken over.
Well, I think it's
going
to all the fields.
Okay,
field,
I understand,
all the fields, like Steinhardt there.
I do. Even if you put say 5 at each.
Cool.
Okay, that's a lot because you're going to get the impression of.
Playground.
All I see is these garbage containers all over the place. In other words, it's going to take away from the aesthetics as well. So, to me, it's too many.
The recycling containers.
Recycling and garbage.
Yeah, there's two. Okay. There's recycling and garbage.
Right.
So, you're putting 4 at the pool of each, and I believe at the various parks.
All right, I make a motion that we give the recommendation the requested amount to purchase the garbage cans and the...
We have the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Yeah, I just think that's why I wanted to emphasize again that even if it's recycling containers as well as garbage containers at each park, and if there's only going to be 4 at the pool, that's going to be a lot. It's going to, I think, take away from the aesthetic value of the parks. I mean, it's good to have some at each one, yes, maybe 1 or 2, even 3, but I think it's too many.
Well, garbage looks better floating around.
Well, it's 12 pair is what it boils down to. It'll be at the pool, it'll be at the softball
right,
field,
like 5
it'll
different
be
locations,
at the
play, field,
it'll
playground.
Be at Steinhardt Field, and I think some may be for the new
the pavilion
Railroad Avenue area.
Oh, yeah.
So
but we don't know that for sure.
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
No one knows. So
well, they haven't gotten the grant yet.
But...
It's not a grant.
It's
from the grant that
yeah,
from
No. He's talking about the trails. We don't know if we're getting the
yes,
the,
for that.
Yeah, but they haven't gotten that grant yet.
Roll call, please.
Hagan?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Right.
No.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes. That brings us to vouchers.
Okay, good. Anybody got anything they want to talk about?
Let's have the motion first.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I'll start.
Discussion.
Page 4.
Page 4?
Yeah.
And I only use page four because, I mean, it's throughout here. Janitorial supplies. Do we ever look into the state distribution support services for purchases on cleaning supplies, paper, and other things that the state provides?
I don't know if anyone else has, but I can certainly look at it. What is it called?
Distribution support services. It's a state-run thing that they deliver supplies.
I thought we reported that.
Can you confirm that they use a vendor from the Morris with part of that cooperation?
Yeah.
It was?
I can't confirm that it was part of the co-op.
Yes, you could, because I've been asking that since I got here. That all these purchases, you know, we join that all these. Before they make these purchases, it better be coming off of that thing.
Especially seafold towels, which I brought up many times.
Just if you can, you know, send out a letter to all the departments, you know, reminder when you buy these things, from paper to copy machine paper to...
Well, I know where copy machine paper is part of the co-op. That I know for sure.
Yeah.
Only because I used to ask that all the time and all. I backed off.
Okay, I lied. That was page three.
Yes, you did.
Now I'm at page four.
Okay.
At the bottom, mm-hmm. We're paying $290 to replace the sign at Steinhardt Field. And at the bottom of that, it says, Warren County Liquors donated the total cost of the sign.
Why are we doing that?
Yes. Good question.
Well, he writes the money to the firm.
Yes.
The Recreation Trust.
Right.
They put it in their account. And
okay.
Then we
pay the bill.
The vendor.
Okay, that's fine.
That's a good way to show it, though. That's good.
It's okay.
So at least it's good again.
Let's see here. Page 11. Is that page 11? Yeah, page 11. Down at the bottom. Taxes for Washington Township.
I asked the same question.
What are we paying taxes for Washington Township?
Well, we own a property.
Yeah, that was
yeah.
We
yeah.
Pay the taxes. I asked that
which property?
2 years ago.
It's where the outflow from the sewer plant is.
No.
And the dam, I believe.
No, that's ours. Remember, we got to pay for it. We got to pay to have that knocked down.
Some of that is on their property, is it
not?
No. I asked this last year to Rich, and that we do, we, they...
Well, let's let Ms. Blanchard answer.
Okay, there's a lot in block number there.
Barron.
Can we find out what that is?
I always thought that was where the old CPW dump was. I don't know any other way to describe it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know, where they dumped the Christmas trees up off of Mozart Avenue. Right?
Yeah,
that's
where
you're talking. It's up by Mozart Avenue.
Is that this?
I don't know. That's what I'm
asking. That's the only property we own in the township that I'm aware of.
Now, what about the water tower site or the cell tower site? Isn't that the one that Barron proposed the last meeting that he was here?
Right. When that company came in and said they wanted to put a water tower.
Yes.
They wanted that.
Referred
the
to the
location.
Same property. That's
right.
What I thought.
It
okay.
It is property
thank
that
you.
We own that's in Washington.
Yes.
Washington.
Okay.
I asked the same question today. Why are we paying taxes? I was told that every manager has tried to get them to stop billing us, but they haven't.
Whoa. Hang up here. Are we supposed to, can you find out if we're even supposed to be paying them taxes on that property?
I thought we were exempt with other municipalities. That is why I asked the question.
All right, my recommendation is you call Judy and find out.
The attorney, yeah.
Can we hold off on paying that particular bill?
We can hold off on paying that.
I'd like to make that motion just to make it official.
I'll second. I think it's a week. Yeah, how does that work?
Well, if
you
tell
want to hold payment in the motion, can you still have it if the other motion's on the floor?
Just amend the motion.
Okay.
I amend.
Just to go back, do you remember the conversation we had previously about this?
I'm going to have to look back at my notes. I don't remember.
I can't remember the answer either.
How long have we been paying taxes on this?
Every year.
And how come the railroad company doesn't pay taxes, too, by the way?
Railroad charges aren't from paying taxes.
Oh, but municipalities are not.
Cause
my point.
I remember us having a property where the sewer outflow is because we moved it
from that is our property.
Shabacon to the Pohatcong. This goes back 12 years, Dave.
But see, if that was their property, they'd have to deal with the dam, not us. That dam is ours.
The dam.
If you could check on that,
because I remember that conversation that I had with Alan Fisher, you know, many years ago about that. You know, it doesn't mean I remember it all correctly.
This is the property, though, that they discussed the water tower.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Who made the motion? Dave, you made the motion?
Yes, I amended to withhold that.
Well, I second it then.
Okay.
I actually amended.
You're cool.
That's fine.
Any other discussion?
No, I'm good on that.
Roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Zabin?
Yes, abstain from Finelli on page 4.
Suarez?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes, it's a stain for anything from the fire department.
Recap, Ms. Blanchard.
Well, I will speak to that bill with Washington Pastor. I will make copies of the audit for the public and post it on the website. I will work with Natasha to see how quickly we can get to 2006 or 2010 revenues. I will have a conversation with the attorney regarding the bid spec and the contract, and I will ask his opinion about Schneider being in violation of the contract regarding interviewing people. And I will write a memo to employees telling them to buy off a state contract or a Morristown co-op, and I'll look into the state-run distribution support services for janitorial supplies.
Well, actually, they have paper. They have all kinds of pens, mop heads, you name it, they got it.
And this tax situation.
Occasionally, there are vendors that have the same quality product cheaper than the co-ops.
I understand what you're saying, Rudy, but if this is something you don't have to exclusively buy from them. If they have something that's cheaper, they can win.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you can go to...
You just want to make sure they find the lowest vendor, lowest cost vendor.
Yeah, the most cost effective for what it is they need.
Right.
Not necessarily the cheapest, but the most effective.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, Christy, the last thing that we discussed, is that going to be on there? Are you going to try to investigate that township property?
I think I did that.
You did say that? I'm sorry, Mr.
Okay. Council remarks. Mr. Higgins.
Okay. Joe, you want to start with me?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Some things that Mr. Snyder said kind of, I don't know, rubbed me the wrong way, and it wasn't him personally. I would like, he made a comment, and he made a comment in his audit that says, of $1.3 million that we spent, there was no value. Can we look into see if we can make it a value? You know what I mean? Listen, if we spent $1.3 million for nothing, I'm a little irritated about that. I know where the money went. He said there's no value. I don't know how we look into that. Would you? I mean, he made the comment, no value.
But those are the soft costs. They had to be done, the design and all that. That's what I
understand what you're saying. I'm talking about the $1.3 million.
That's what they are. Those are the soft costs. If you do the math, that's what the soft costs were.
So you're telling me, and what he's saying is, the contract itself, to complete that garage, the construction costs were 53% of what that cost. So you're telling, what you're saying is 47% of that building was soft cost.
Yes.
And I understand that. And his response to that was, there was no value, except for the last $75,000.
Which, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you had to do those things as far as the design and all that stuff, right?
Yes. But
so wouldn't that be the value? That's why I don't understand. I don't understand where he's coming from either.
If I could clarify, maybe, I think he wasn't, there's no substantiation. It wasn't specific enough. So that we don't know if it was because he made that statement, Mr. Snyder, because it was duplicity, maybe it was charged twice, or it's just an oversight and added in. We don't know the reason. He didn't back up his report enough.
Okay,
we don't have
my question,
backup answers.
My
and
question
that
is
to that.
Can we find out the reason? He gave us the comment, no value.
Good
can
question.
We, as a council, find out the reason why there was no value?
Through our manager and our CFO and our auditor.
I don't know if you'd have to talk to Andrew about that or not, Christine.
I'll have to take a look at the documentation that you need.
Okay. Something else that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. He made a comment, there was a lot of friction that had to do with Recreation Commission and the fire truck. I take that personally. Now, if he's not talking to people, why was there a lot of friction about the Rec Commission and the fire trucks? Just a point. You talk to somebody. Mr. Mayor, I do have to say that I'm a little displeased with the way Mr.
Schneider
was dismissed and didn't have to answer questions from the public. I would hope in the future, if there's discussion between yourself and a vendor, somebody providing a service to the borough, that the council at least be included on that decision.
So noted.
Thank you. And just, I myself contacted Mr. Schneider's office twice, and two times I did not get a return phone call.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
No, I'm done.
Okay. Mrs. Gleba.
Well, because I was going to ask that, because I thought you said you contacted him, and that's why I couldn't understand why he said no. Yet.
Contacted, but didn't.
So I guess he didn't speak to. I guess he didn't. Twice. He didn't actually speak to. Okay.
And he never returned the call.
Well, first, if you recall, in April, J.C. Pino, our representative, came in and, you know, to whatever, introduce himself, and I asked, did they ever give back to the community, and he gave me the contact information, so I passed that on to the Recreation Commission, but Sandy was here from the bid, and she actually got his card. So I just wanted to formally thank JCP and L, let the community know that they're a platinum sponsor. They've donated $500 to the car show coming up. So they are, the bid has never been able to get any like donations before from JCP&L, so I'm glad that they are helping out the community like that. I was wondering if you could ask the Recreation Commission regarding the proclamation tonight. I think it's like really nice. Would it be possible that they could maybe do some kind of activity or event to celebrate the older folks in the borough in the month of May?
Like a wheelchair
race? Yeah, like bring it up to them. You know, it could be coffee and donuts or something. Maybe they can get a donation from the bakery in town or Dunkin' Donuts or just something maybe like to...
I can bring that up to them.
Yeah.
I don't know about the donations. I guess they've asked a lot of people for donations and they've kind of tapped a lot of people out right now.
I was wondering, now that we have this in our hands, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to have some kind of action plan as far as making sure that we have the necessary internal control measures? I, like Mrs. Sloan, you know, was pleased. I'm sure I'm going to have more questions, but I was happy that there's no criminal activity and no fraudulent activities, and there were a lot of positive things. And clearly, it's quite evident that since 2005, there has been dramatic improvements, and hopefully we can, you know, continue that course and we keep those checks in place. But I want to make sure that we're not missing any checks, and if we need to, like on page 16. So, what's next is my question to council now that we have this, because they did not provide any recommendations.
Yeah, I mean that wasn't part of their mandate.
But I think it would behoove council, after we spent all that money on it, that we make, you know, maybe there isn't anything that we have to do, you know. We just got this tonight, so.
I would say let's read it, and at the next meeting, if there's something that someone wants to do, that we can do it, we can make the motion to
okay.
Do it at that point.
Then with regard to the community grant, apparently there's going to be like 27,000 left. I wanted to make a motion that we use the money towards graffiti abatement, because a year or two ago, I remember Victor tried to go out for a graffiti grant specifically, you know, to fix graffiti, and we did not get that grant. And this grant can, you know, be specifically used for graffiti. So I'm wondering if the DPW could, you know, do an assessment of how much graffiti's around and what they need to you know, how much it would cost to fix it, and maybe we could use the money for that.
I know.
I mean, we already have litter signs.
Special green paint remover that they can.
Well, I know in the past.
I know, it's certainly not going to take up to $27,000. I mean.
Well, REC has gotten rid of graffiti as soon as they've noticed it. The graffiti remover that they use is pretty expensive. I don't remember the costs of it, but it was pretty expensive. And I believe if they catch whoever is doing it, usually the court orders them to clean it.
Mm-hmm.
Or clean new graffiti, since theirs is probably gone at that point.
Well, where should I change the motion to reflect that whenever the recreation or DPW need the supplies to remove graffiti, that it's, you know, promptly removed and they use the money from this grant to pay for the expense.
Any comments on that?
That's my motion.
Okay.
No, I don't have any comments. I just want to know what's used or...
I've seen it. I couldn't tell you what it is off the top of my head.
You know what? I could go with that, but that's kind of a blanket statement, so that in 5 years we might not have, or 2 years, we might not have $27,000 because that's all the graffiti. You understand what I'm, you know what I'm saying? I would like to know,
right.
I would like to know what a balance is on that, not just give carte blanche to anybody who says, oh, there's graffiti,
right.
You got to get rid of it.
Maybe, all right, maybe I'll change, I'll amend the motion, so... I'll remove the motion, and if you could look into the cost for the graffiti remover or what happened.
If we get supplies, we can come back
with a cost, and that, then I'll have a not to exceed for the grant.
The supplies could be good for what, a year, 2 years?
Right.
I don't know. So, yes, that's what we'll do.
Depends how much graffiti there is.
Right.
Hopefully, there'll be no new graffiti. But.
Anything else, Mrs. Cleveland?
Nope.
I do have one other thing, Mr. Mayor, if I could go back.
Sure.
This is for Christine. Could you find out if there is a state or federal statute that requires the keeping of financial records for government agencies and for how long?
I can answer that question. The state statute says that financial records have to be kept for a period of 6 years.
Oop.
But I want to comment on that.
Oop.
When it says the financial records, our budget, our audit, our bank statements, our debt reports, our annual financial statements. Those are the things that we keep for 6 years. I know we
General
have...
General Ledger?
General Ledger.
Oh, well, we don't have that.
That wasn't mentioned in the forensic
book. He said we didn't have a working ledger.
Look. Right. Previous to 2008, I don't think the borough had a general ledger at all.
That's why we
contracted with another CFO from another town to produce the general ledger, if you remember.
Right, now we have it, right.
Now we have it. What we didn't have was the data that was sitting in our previous software system. The software system doesn't exist. We had the hard copies. It was easier for him to go to the system and produce the reports by the push of a button, rather than go back and look through the documents that we did have for those years, 6, 7, and part of 8.
But I think he said that there wasn't even a hard copy backup.
I got it written.
That only begs the question, Christine. Where did the hard copy go, and what happened to it? Why was it authorized to be discarded or whatever? I mean, you know.
The data was saved, but there were no hard copies or electronic backup. And my question was, is it acceptable practice?
It's not, for the general ledger to not be saved, no, it's not an acceptable practice.
Okay.
But I will tell you that 90% of those financial records are here for 6 years. The general ledger, probably not. One didn't even exist in the borough until 2006, or 7.
Okay. Then my question would be this, and please go, being a smart guy or what, is 90% is that acceptable to be maintained?
It's not acceptable.
Okay, that's
not compliant with the record law, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, if you can get me that statute number, if you could send it to everybody so everybody has it, I would appreciate that because I'd like to be sure.
Anything else, Mr. Torres?
I didn't go yet.
Oh,
my turn?
Yes, your turn.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. All right, I'd just like to say, I'd like to thank our Councilman Higgins, as well as Councilman
Weaver for commenting on the comments that they made on the forensic audit. I basically agree with, you know, both viewpoints to a point. But my statement stands clear that I made earlier that the forensic audit, to me, is incomplete. Okay? I mean, it's lacking important elements that you need, especially, you know, the revenue side. So, you know, it's just not adequately done. I would be happy to see some sort of possible way to get some sort of a refund back on the money, the $87,000, and the money that we did spend, not, you know, leave alone the fact of paying them any more money that we owe them. I just think that we should certainly investigate reviewing the actual contract that we signed with the Snyder Company to see if everything was followed to the T that he said he was going to do for our audit. Because to me, it was not completed. I disagree with Councilman Gleba as well as Susan Sloan in their statements that, you know, they're happy that nothing, no fraud was found or anything like that, because to me, it's yet to be determined, okay, because we don't have enough information, okay? To me, the audit was not completed. That said, I do have to say that we are, this is a completely another subject, which is the subcommittee on the code book. We did meet, and I didn't, you know, wasn't on the agenda for tonight. However, we should have a report coming soon. We have to meet several times more, but there will be a discussion of the draft ordinance for fingerprinting and background checks for recreational employees and possibly borough employees as well. That's about it. Thank you.
Mr. Valentine.
Well, I'm glad that we got the report, and I'm glad it's over. I was satisfied with it. The other thing that I was very happy to hear was the fact of him talking about all the improvements and changes that had been made since 2008. And I think we have to recognize that those improvements were made because of staff that Rich Phelan put together. And I know everybody here walks around with their lips sticking out whenever his name gets mentioned. But it's those changes that he instituted along with Tom Ferry and
Natasha
that made it possible for them to find out that changes have been made and we have stopped poor business practices. So
was it them who discarded the old system and the records that, you know, are not available today that were supposed to be kept for a certain period of 6 years? I mean, we don't know that.
Well,
right, exactly.
Out.
So, right.
But what I'm saying is, overall, if you listen to what he said, that, you know, major improvements have been made.
Okay.
Anything else, sir?
No.
Mrs. Lita.
I was wondering, and I don't know the best way to go about it, but, you know, since we budgeted $100,000 for the audit and the audit ended up being less, can we use some of that leftover money perhaps to invite him back for the public to ask questions?
That contract was signed last year.
It was.
It's out of last year's money, so that excess then goes into surplus.
It's already in the general fund.
It's not budgeted for it.
Well, then, can we use some of that to actually bring him back?
No, because it goes into surplus.
We would have to do either an emergency appropriation or a budget amendment in order to make that happen.
I don't know if we can do a budget amendment. We'd have to get the money from somewhere else.
No,
our budget's already passed.
Find money to bring him back.
Unless he comes fresh, because, you know, we feel that he owes us to come back. I mean, and the last thing I do have to say, I mean, that is the worst thing about this whole thing, was that the public was not able to answer questions, and I just didn't like that part of this meeting.
They will be able to ask to the manager and the CFO. Okay. Anything else, Mrs. Weaver?
That's it.
Okay. Mr. Higgins.
When are we going to get our new audit?
I expect it any day now. Tom's done, so I can follow up and ask him.
Is he going to be here?
Yes, when he presents the audit, he will be here.
Okay.
All right, all I have is some Warren Hill students have a graduated driver's license program going on. They have created a superhero, if you will, called GDL Man. If they've entered a contest for this. If they win the contest, they will get a driving simulator for their school. You can, for those of you who are on Facebook, you can look up GDL Man on Facebook and put likes there, and all the likes that they get add points to their effort to get that. So I would encourage all who have a Facebook account to go on and like that. That's all I have. Mrs. Dellett.
I have a question. Are CAC licenses this month?
Yes.
Yes.
They're due by the end of the month. Pardon me? May 31st. They're all due by.
It's cats and dogs, right?
Cats and dogs.
Oh, dogs too?
Yes.
No horses.
Okay. No horses.
They will be at the end of the
month. Okay. I would accept a motion to adjourn.
I move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.